Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday. We are live at Maple Street Biscuit Company. Wake up to wow. You can come see us at 2407 8th Avenue South in Nashville. Get free crispy tots with the purchase of any of their delicious biscuit sandwiches. So definitely come by and see us. We got Sounds tickets. We're going to give away some Cats tickets as well. And, of course, Maple Street Biscuit Company is proud sponsor of John McClain, who joins us now on our phone line. John, I got to tell you, he sent us pictures, shared them with Joe. We're both very, very jealous of what you got to do on Wednesday, and that is hang out with the Hall of Famer Jimmy Johnson.
Yep. When Jimmy was a senior in high school in Port Arthur, Jefferson, Port Arthur's kind of between Houston and Beaumont, and his team made the state semifinals, and they lost to Corpus Christi Miller, 1960. Miller was the first integrated team to win a state championship in Texas, and the coach told us when we interviewed him in Lubbock, he's 97 years old, that in their 13-1 season, the best player they went against and the hardest for them to go against was Jimmy Johnson, the linebacker guard of Port Arthur. So we called Jimmy and he said, come on over, and I drove over with the director, flew back. He's got a place called Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill on Key Largo. It's a sports bar, restaurant on the water, and it's got his memorabilia. So we got there day before, checked it out. We were set up when Jimmy got there. He regaled us with stories about growing up in Texas, coaching almost every stop along the way. Then I interviewed him about the times back then when you had the all-black preview interscholastically and all-white university interscholastically. And Corpus Christi Miller was one of the few schools in Texas that complied with the Supreme Court ruling to outlaw segregation. He was great talking. He cut a promo for us. And he said, guys, when it comes out, let me know. I'll help you promote it. And I'll call all my friends and get them to promote it. And he said, I got a lot of friends.
Yes, he does. That is for sure. You know, I obviously don't remember his time in college football. I grew up a Cowboys fan before the Titans got here, and he obviously was the coach of those teams. At the time, John, when he made the jump from the from college to the NFL, how was that viewed? Was that viewed as a more of a risky move than maybe it would be now?
It was a risky move. Jerry Jones hired Jimmy because they went back to the University of Arkansas where they were teammates. And they were friends at that point. And Jimmy, of course, had won a national championship in Miami, won the eighth championship in Oklahoma State. And he was ready to make the move to the NFL. And I remember a lot of people, myself included, thought that he should have hired a bunch of NFL coaches instead of bringing his coaches. But as it turned out, every move Jimmy made was right. And we talked to him about the Herschel Walker trade. And one of the things that when he made that trade for a lot of veteran players, he added that if he got rid of those veteran players, he could get corresponding draft picks, including number ones and number twos. And the idea all along was to cut them. But for whatever reason, the Vikings didn't want that in the original trade announcement. So they just thought he got a bunch of veterans. But at that time, the Cowboys were terrible. Tom Landry had left the cupboard bare. And that first season, they won one game. And people think Troy Aikman won it, but it wasn't. It was Steve Walsh, who had come in the supplemental draft. And in one of his greatest trades that didn't get a lot of attention, he traded Steve Walsh to the Saints for first, second, and third-round draft choices. Turned out to be a terrible trade. And another great trade that Jimmy Johnson made while he had all the control of the Cowboys. And it started coming apart with Jerry when Jerry saw how much fun Jimmy was having making all the personnel decisions, and it was in his contract, but then Jerry wanted to get involved in personnel, and after they won that second Super Bowl, Jimmy just couldn't take it anymore, and he walked away, and after he coached the Dolphins and retired, so many owners tried to hire him, if not as coach GM, as a GM, the Texans being one of them, and he just didn't want to coach anymore. And he's got a great setup there, in which he's got a house and boats. He said his whole life there, since he moved there, he said 21 different boats. In other words, Jimmy likes to be on the water.
Oh, yeah. We're talking to John McClain. Spent some time with Jimmy Johnson. John, in your talk with Jimmy, how much did you talk about his college? Because, you know, remember, he went from Oklahoma State to Miami in 84. He came late. He had to keep Schnellenberger's staff there. It wasn't the greatest time. But then 85 through 88, he turned it around. How much time did you guys spend on his time at Miami and the decision at the time, John? Because he was not the most popular coach at Oklahoma State to take that job and go to Miami where they just won a national championship.
We talked to him about colleges. That wasn't part of our interview. So we talked to him. And one of the things about Jimmy retiring from Fox, he doesn't have to be careful what he says anymore. And he's a smart guy. He's not going to say anything foolish. And you know, like so many, almost every program in the country is cheated like crazy. That's me saying that, not him. But obviously they did because they got caught at it. And then he had some of the greatest athletes ever. And he said one of the things that he did at Miami, because of the heat and the humidity, he had to have guys that could run. And so they were smaller. He didn't care about 300-pound linemen. He wanted guys that could run and guys that could stay on the field. And they always won with talent and speed, not with force. And Jimmy, I told him, I sat next to him in Port Arthur at a Wade Phillips roast about 5 years ago. And we were on the head dais, and I told him why he was going to get in the Hall of Fame. And he told me why he was not. And when I saw him get surprised in the Hall of Fame, and then as soon as I walked in, he came up, on Key Largo, first thing he did was bring up what I had told him, and I knew we would get in. Even though his career was short, Jimmy Johnson had control of everything, every step of the way. He made sure to get him, and he said so many people, basketball, GMs, other sports owners, come and meet with him, and he tries to meet with them whenever they come. Some come loaded with pages of questions. And one time a guy asked him, I can't remember who it was, said, do you think it's okay to hire a college coach? Well, you're asking a college coach, so of course he's going to say it. But one of the things he said was, I want a coach who's passionate about his job, loves the job, and will work 24/7 at that job. And he can learn more while he's on the job and from people around him. But it's got to start off, he's got to know talent, work 24/7, and he's got to just love it. Because if he doesn't, he's going to have issues. And that's the way he was.
Yeah, John, if he doesn't step down after the 93 season, do you think there's a good chance Cowboys win four Super Bowls? Because there's not a doubt in my mind they beat the Niners in the 94 championship. And, of course, they won in 95 when Barry Switzer. You know, we've never had a three-time in a row Super Bowl champion. I think they win four straight.
Well, free agency started, and they were going to lose players. And they did lose players because players had gotten their rings. They wanted to get paid. It was a new time, and they were having players – bell right and left for more money. Now, he could have won the one that Switzer won because Barry won it with his players and his coaches. And so I'm not sure about the fourth one, but as long as he had Aikman and Smith and Irvin, they were capable of beating anybody anywhere. So maybe they could have won four in a row.
John McClain is with us. We will have more with him coming up next. Of course, he is presented by Maple Street Biscuit Company, which is where we are today. Wake up to WOW. More with John coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live at Maple Street Biscuit Company. Wake up to WOW. Scratch biscuits, handcrafted breakfast, and bold flavors. Sign up for your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Nashville Sounds game by coming up and seeing us. Also, as we continue with John McClain, Coach Jeff Fisher is going to join us. He's on the way here now, John, so he said to tell you hello, but it'll be good to catch up with Coach Fish coming up in a few minutes. Speaking of, I've heard him say
one of my all-time favorite coaches. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I could tell you a million stories about Jeff. I hope he's doing really well with the Arena League and giving my best. I never had more fun covering an NFL team, whether it was the Oilers or the Texans, than I did when Jeff was the coach. And I'll always appreciate all the charity events he did for the Charles Davis Foundation with me. He went above and beyond for those events. And so many Nashvillians, is that the word, would come out?
Yes.
And I know they came out to see him. And he was always very gracious with his time, and Jeff would tell his assistant coaches, you're coming to the new ones. The guys like Dave McGinnis knew it, and so did players like Steve McNair and Eddie George. But he would have new coaches, and he'd say, I need you to come to this charity. And they're like, why is a guy from Houston doing this charity here? And Jeff would tell, well, it's a long story. I had so much fun doing that and always appreciated his contributions.
It's interesting to me, too, that he's a guy that still stands the test of time. Like, people that remember when the Oilers and then Titans got here, he was obviously the coach, was the coach for, I think, 16 seasons. And, you know, he's still just as beloved now as he was back then. And you just don't see that as much anymore.
Well, one reason is Jeff was very personable. He was good with the media, he was good with the fans, and I think the media always liked him and respected him. Anytime you treat people, if you respect them, they're going to respect you. And I also think the media there was appreciative of getting a team, of course, but and I think that the fact when they struggled early on, they understood what he was going through was unprecedented in NFL history. And then he had to do it again. And I'll tell you one thing. If Jeff Fisher had coached one more year, he had Jared Goff as a rookie. And like most rookie quarterbacks, he struggled. But then all of a sudden, Jeff's out, and they get Cooper Kupp, and they start bringing in all these other players, draft picks, free agents. And Goff just, you know, he his career took off. If Jeff had still been the head coach there, he would have done a great job, and he just didn't have the same weapons in that last season as Sean McVay did.
John McClain is with us. I've heard Jeff say this, but I also remember in working with Floyd, when minicamp would wrap up, there was one time Floyd said, I hated this time of year, and I was like, why? And he goes, because it's 6 weeks of – you don't know what phone call you're going to get at 3 in the morning because something happens. You got to hope that nothing goes down, but it seems like every GM, every coach in the NFL probably feels that way.
Players are more mature and responsible today than they were then because they got a chance to make so much money. Now, I'll tell you, dumbass, Jimmy Ward, the safety for the Texans, who came from the 49ers, and D'Amico Ryans loves him, just got a domestic arrest and charges at 5:30 a.m. yesterday morning, and he's competing for his job, and then he gets involved in something like that. And I'll guarantee you, when D'Amico Ryans was probably already up, but that's the kind of call, and you'd like to think it's not going to come from a veteran who's a team leader. And so... anyway, it that was something you worried about, but you just don't see it as much as you used to, because players tend to stay in better shape and they don't go crazy during that time off like they used to.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe show. John, this Bengals impasse with Shamar Stewart that's going on, everything is transparent now. Why are the Bengals trying to lie to this guy when everybody can see what's going on? And it's caused this big thing where this guy could go back into the draft next year. How do you see this thing working out and ending?
I think it'll get worked out. You know, they're trying to put a clause in his contract that if he gets cut, he doesn't get paid. Well, why would you consider a clause about your first-round pick being cut 3 years from now? And they didn't do it with last year's number one, Amari Sims. So I don't blame Stewart. He should put a lid on it. He shouldn't be critical of the team. That's stupid. You know, people care a lot more about Trey Hendrickson than they do Stewart, who didn't do squat at Texas A&M, but looked like Tarzan at the Combine and Pro Day and everything. They took a big chance on him because of the way he looked in shorts and T-shirt, like Anthony Richardson and some others through the decades. But I think they'll get it worked out. There are 20 unsigned second-round picks. That's wow. Unprecedented, and it's all the fault of the Texans because they guaranteed wide receiver Jaden Higgins contract guaranteed. That's got to drive Stewart crazy. And so the problem is everybody hates Nick Caserio because now their number two picks want their contracts guaranteed, including the Texans' second-round pick, offensive tackle Ariante Uzeri. And how do they justify not giving him his guaranteed when they did it with Higgins? So it's there's going to be a lot of general managers and contract negotiators who are not going to have fun vacations.
John, our long national nightmare is over. Aaron Rodgers signed with the Steelers, goes to camp, saying all the right things, doing all the right things. How do you see this relationship with him and Tomlin working out? Of course, Arthur Smith is there, and Tomlin's like giving Arthur the reign to do whatever he wants. But how do you see this working out long-term between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin?
Well, I don't think anything's going long-term with Rodgers. But I think this, he's had Arthur Smith's playbook. Like I've heard people say, oh, man, he doesn't know the offense. Why do you think they had the Jets and the Steelers in the first game? Do you think that maybe the NFL called the Steelers and said, we're thinking about doing this? We don't want you on TV with Mason Rudolph. So they wink, wink, yeah, he'll be here. So they put him in that game. I'll guarantee you he has every play in Arthur Smith's playbook on his laptop. He's been studying it. He's smart. He's a veteran. He'll hit the ground running. His issue is not with coaches. His issues are with the guy in the mirror. And I think his second year back from that Achilles injury, because he takes great care of himself, I think they'll win 9 or 10 games in a tough division and probably win a wild card berth.
Wow. John McClain is with us. See, I think it's an interesting thing to look at with him, of just what is left in the tank, both mentally and physically, at this point in his career. But you may be right with Mike Tomlin there, because Tomlin can probably control some of the craziness. You may just be onto something, John.
Well, I don't see Tomlin standing in the way of his weekly appearances on Pat McAfee. Since he gets paid $1 million, I don't think anybody can take $1 million away. And every time he does it, he'll stir up controversy because that's just what he does, and he likes the drama. It's pretty obvious Aaron Rodgers likes the drama, even though he claims he doesn't. He had 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. The analytics weren't good, but I think he'll be better this season than he was last season. The problem is they got one receiver. And they got a bunch of tight ends. They lost their 1,000-yard rusher. I don't think they're going to be much better than they were. I think they'll be in that 9 or 10 win neighborhood.
John, appreciate it as always. Glad you got to spend some time with Jimmy Johnson. We will talk to you on Wednesday.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
John McClain joining us here on the program. He is presented by Maple Street Biscuit Company, which is where we are today. Wake up to WOW. We're going to keep the fun going, talking a lot of football on this Friday as Coach Jeff Fisher with the Nashville Cats and AF1 is going to join us for the entire 10 o'clock hour. We're looking forward to that conversation with him all coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Dr. Crane, of course, is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.